Hello and welcome to this episode of the Print on Demand Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Egler, here with my co-host, Adrian Von Arx, and we're diving into some juicy news and happenings right now in the print on demand and e-commerce space, including a $5 t-shirt just launched by a print on demand company and the potential TikTok ban. So you want to make sure and listen to the whole episode. And we also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It really helps us reach new listeners and it helps you never miss an episode. So if you're listening on whatever podcast platform, make sure you subscribe. If you're listening over on YouTube, make sure you also hit that subscribe button. And with that, let's dive in. What's up, everybody? We're back. Excited to be here today. And before we jump into today's content, I want to pass the mic over to Adrian because he's got something really special that you guys want to know about.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to share a really big announcement and something that everybody's invited to. We love you guys, our listeners. And I want to let you guys know that I am doing a totally free live training next week. We're going live. So it's going to be Carlos and I going live. And this is going to be a how to make your first $10,000 with Shopify and print on demand training. So I want to invite everybody here to attend this. It's going to be a lot of fun. I would love to meet you guys. It's funny. I get messages that from people saying, I feel like I already know you because I'm listening to a podcast. Well, guys, come meet me. Like, come, I want to get to know you. I would love to create a personal relationship with you guys. So I want to invite everyone. There's going to be two time slots. It's going to be the same training. So you do not need to attend both unless you really want to. Totally cool with me. First one's going to be Wednesday, March 20th at 11 a.m. Central Time. And the second one is going to be Thursday, March 21st at 11 a.m. Central Time. So it's going to be the same time, Wednesday and Thursday. It's going to be about a 90-minute training. So I'd love for you to attend. And if you cannot make it, that is totally okay. So if you can't make it for the actual live event, there is going to be a limited time replay sent to everyone who registers. So even if you're working during that time, which I totally understand, this very common work hours, we're going to be sending out a limited time replay. So you can still go register and then you can watch it at your convenience over the weekend or whatnot. Now, there are two ways to secure your spot. So the first way, there's three ways. If you're listening to the podcast, we're going to leave a link to register down in the show notes. If you're listening on YouTube, we're also going to leave a link to register down in the show notes. And then the third way is on social media. So I'm on Instagram at Ecom Legends Academy. And I'm on TikTok at Adrian Von Arx. So if you go there, click the link in my bio, there will be a link for you to register. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I would love to meet you. I would love to see your beautiful faces. I hope you guys can attend. And Carrie, back to you, man.
Yeah, man. I would say you don't want to miss that if you're listening to this. And I also would encourage people, try to get there live if you can, because the live energy is always way better. So, you know, if you got to work, something like you said, that's okay. Get the replay. But if you can make the effort to be there live, I just know from my experience, you know, in the events I've done, man, the live energy is just a different kind of energy. I feel like you get more out of it. So yeah, definitely try to get there live. That's awesome, dude. Okay. Today we're diving into so what's happening right now in print on demand. I've got some really good stuff that I think listeners will find pretty interesting, pretty helpful, those kind of things, and pretty insightful. Before we dive into that, I do want to share an Apple review from Libby Ann Quilts. Libby Ann Quilts, what's up? Thank you for your review. She said, he or she said, great last episode on personalization. Gave me so many amazing ideas. Let's go. Adrian, I've actually got a couple DMs about the personalization episode. People just saying they really enjoy that personalization. And I think I had a few posts inside the Shirt School community of people saying man, the personalization episode. So that's really cool. That's good feedback to have because that helps us for future episodes. I mean, that's something we can expand on a little bit more and talk about a little bit more. So that's really cool. Libby Ann Quilts, thank you so much for your review. Quick pitch for reviews. We need some reviews. We want you to let us know what you think about the podcast. So if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, leave us a quick review. It's completely free and it helps us out a ton. If you're watching over on YouTube, just drop a comment. Just let us know you enjoy the podcast or shoot us a DM. We'd love to read that on air. And just, we'd love to celebrate you. We love our listeners. All righty. So We're just going to be covering some of the latest news and events. What I'm going to do, Adrian, is I'm going to start off with the first one. We'll talk about that a little bit. In the second section, I'm hesitant, but I will call this a new segment. I'm going to do a quick hits segment.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
I found this really cool, recently published. Well, I shouldn't even talk about it, but I found a really cool article that had some amazing insights in the print on demand space. And I want to kind of just hit you with those insights, get your quick thoughts. And I'll also give my thoughts as well, but I think that's going to be really helpful. All right. So kicking it off with number one, what I want to talk about. This is something that, you know, this news item has been out for a while, but I wanted to touch on it because I think it's really important to us as Shopify merchants. So the first topic, Shopify merchants break the Black Friday record. In our last What's Happening Now episode, we talked about like retail sales for the holiday season, how, you know, retail sales were up, e-commerce was up. This is specific to Shopify merchants. Last year, Black Friday, Shopify merchants broke the Shopify record, and we did as a Shopify community. Go. We posted $4.1 billion in sales in one day.
Dang.
$4.1 billion in sales. Shopify merchants reached a record of $9.3 billion in sales over the whole Black Friday Cyber Monday weekend. I'm going to hit you with some just quick highlights. Sales per minute peaked at 4.2 million in 1 minute at 12:01 p.m. Eastern on November 24th, Black Friday. 4.2 million in 1 minute. That's awesome.
That's
61
crazy.
Million consumers globally purchased from Shopify powered brands. Average cart price was $108.12. Top selling countries, the United States, UK, Australia, Canada, and Germany. Let's see. I think I'm gonna leave it there, but I got one more thing that I think is the best part of this entire news article.
Dude, drop it, man. What are you waiting for?
I'm just keeping everybody in suspense. Adrian, without looking at the notes, right, you probably already looked.
I'm not gonna say anything.
This is like a mic drop moment. If you're watching, I might just drop my mic. What do you think of all Shopify merchants that the top selling product category was?
Are you actually asking me?
I'm actually asking you. I don't know if you read the notes, but
I actually didn't read this part. I don't know if I'm going to be right or not. I could be totally wrong, but should I just like say it?
Just guess.
Is it apparel?
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. We need like one of those, like, yeah, that's exactly, like, man. We need a boop, 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 boop.
Top selling product category was apparel, or actually clothing, yeah, followed by closely by personal care and jewelry, which also two categories that can be sold with print on demand. But I want to get your thoughts on all this, but I think it's so cool that, you know, for all the haters out there, you see the YouTube videos like, ooh, t-shirts are dead, apparel's dead. Number one products, selling product category, Black Friday 2023. It's pretty wild. What are your thoughts on all this, Adrian?
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, I don't like to usually give any energy to the haters, but the facts are the facts. T-shirts are the number one selling product for print-on-demand companies. I'm not saying you should only sell t-shirts. I don't think you should only sell t-shirts, but they're the number one selling product across the board for print-on-demand. And when apparel is the number one seller, there's probably going to be a lot of t-shirts in there. The other thing that I was going to say about that is, I had another thought about, oh yeah, until people stop wearing t-shirts, which I don't think will ever be the case, they're not going to go out of style. They are an evergreen product. You're wearing a t-shirt right now, Carrie. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. We wear t-shirts all year round. Like, it's a very staple item. And if you are creating for a specific niche, if you have an ideal customer in mind, people who are very passionate about something in particular, and you are creating for the demand, you're going to clean up. Like, you can absolutely clean up. Obviously, you have to have something that people actually want to buy, and you have to have a way to get eyeballs on that product, right? That's really what it comes down to. You need something people want to buy, and you need to get eyeballs on a product. But yeah, man, like, I'm not overly surprised by this. Every year, Shopify just sales over Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Q4, they seem to keep growing. There seems to be this continuous kind of breakaway between retail and online sales. And it's the future, man. I mean, the future's here. It's growing. And I'm inspired and excited by this. Truly am.
Yeah, I think it speaks to a couple things. And, you know, like the first thing would just be the opportunity, right? Like the majority of Shopify merchants are small. I'm hesitant to call them small, but they're brands like ours, right? They're brands like us. Like mom and pop. Like if you're listening to this podcast episode, like the majority of these brands on Shopify that are generating these $4.1 billion in sales in one day, it's you guys. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's smaller-ish brands. It's not the tens of millions of dollars of brands. There are those on Shopify. I should mention that. But when you talk about numbers like these, this is thousands upon thousands of sellers. And so I think it just speaks to the opportunity for you as somebody who, you know, is maybe getting started or somebody who is making a few thousand dollars a month. Like the opportunity is there, and it continually each year we see it grow. We see it grow. And every year we think it's not good. This is going to be the year it goes down. And maybe there will be that year. But it just seems like, man, every year it just gets bigger and bigger. And I just want to encourage people to get on board, man. Get on board. Right. Print on demand is growing. Shopify is growing. Let's go.
Yeah, man. If anyone who's listening, who's not in the game yet, that's totally fine. Like we honor you for being here and learning. You've done more than a lot of people that have thought about it just by being here and listening and educating yourself, you know, but someone is making those sales, whether it's you or not. A lot of our listeners made a lot of sales over Q4, and some of our listeners made none because they don't have their business up yet. And that's totally fine. Where I'm getting at is that should be you. Like, we want that to be you. We want those to be your sales. And you have an opportunity every single year. You can start your business today. And the goal for fourth quarter for Black Friday, Cyber Monday should always be to start January 1st. You should be collecting emails. You should be building up your following. You should be dropping new designs and testing ads and making sales, building up this client list, this customer list that you can just, you know, market to very aggressively in the fourth quarter when everyone and their dog is out shopping. So, I want that to be our listener. I want this to be all of our listeners. Like, we want our listeners to win. And so for anyone who's not there yet, jump on it, guys. Like, the sooner the better. Just start taking action. You're going to get better over time. And right now, you have a lot of time before getting to Black Friday, Cyber Monday. You can make a lot of sales between now and then. In fact, the first quarter is consistently my best quarter for sales, even more than the fourth quarter. However, if you are thinking about, a lot of people really kind of put on the gas in the summertime or in the fall leading up to the fourth quarter, and a lot of them are a little bit late to the party. Like, it's best to start earlier rather than later. And we encourage you guys to do so.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to number two. This is going to be a little bit of a quick hits. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on each of these points, and then I'll give my thoughts as well. These are all going to be pulled from an article that just came out a few days ago from Printify. This article, I don't know if you've read this article, but it is called 28 Exclusive Printify Statistics That Will Change the Way You Do Print on Demand in 2024. Again, this just released the beginning of March. This is like, I know they do these from time to time, but this one specifically is like one of the best ones I've seen. Like, it just, some of the insights in here are pretty wild. Like, they're really important for us to know, especially, you know, doing this podcast and everything that we do. So I'm going to hit you with a couple of these. All right.
Go.
This is not one of the quick hits, but it does say at the beginning of this article, 2023 print on demand industry as a whole hit an impressive $8.03 billion in market size. So it plays an important role in the in the steady growth of e-commerce. Right, it's playing a bigger and bigger role. So that's really awesome. So the first stat I want to hit you with, Adrian, is, according to Printify, their sellers. This is data from their sellers. So I don't know how many sellers Printify has. I would assume it's tens of thousands of sellers at minimum, maybe more. So according to Printify's data, on average, sellers take 165 days to hit their first $1,000 in revenue. However, Their most successful merchants have managed to reach the 1K mark in less than 118 days. There's a little bit more that they say about this, but I want to get your just initial thoughts on that statistic right there. 165 days average, successful sellers, about 118.
Love that. Love that for those successful sellers. And I mean, yes, there's so many people using Printify. It's definitely one of the biggest print on demand companies out there. If I had to guess without knowing, one of the biggest differences I would think, so you have all sorts of people sign up for Printify, right? You have people that are like, oh, I'm going to sign up for Printify, and then they don't really do anything. You have people signing up and they try for a week and then give up, you know? You have all kind of levels of people. But if I had to guess, one of the biggest differentiators that significantly cut down that time that people got to their first $1,000, I would say is people that followed a proven, tried and tested strategy. That's what I would say. I think, dude, it's to me, it's the equivalent to having like a coach to get in shape, right? Or to become a professional athlete or something like that. The people with a coach, the people with strategies that are proven, they're going to accelerate. Whereas if anyone is just flying by the seat of their pants, like so many of us do, including myself when we first started out, and I made zero sales on my first brand, like what a shocker. It's a strategy, man. That's like one of the biggest differentiators that I consistently see between 6 and 7 figure brand owners and the people that see the faster success. This is not like an overnight success thing, in my opinion. We do not feel like print on demand is like a get rich quick scheme. It is very much a legitimate business that does require some hustle. You do have to put some work in, but yeah, you can get really good results. And I think that my guess would be that those people that are getting the best results are the ones that follow a proven, tried and tested strategy versus someone who has no clue what they're doing, like I was when I first started out. Karen, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, so here's my initial thought. And I think this is a Printify kind of echoed this. My initial thought was, that kind of feels like a long time, 165 days. Like it just kind of hits you like 160. And I think why that is I think it's the culture that has unfortunately been built on maybe like YouTube and TikTok of like, you know, in Instagram reels and everything. You see these reels, how to make $10,000 in 7 days, you know, it's like, or whatever. You see this video that's like, make your first $1 million in the next 30 days with this one strategy, you know, like, that kind of culture makes us feel like 165 days is a really long time to get our first $1,000. In reality, over 80% of businesses, you know, go out of business in their first like year. Most businesses don't, you know, may not even make it to that. So the fact that you can use a business model like print on demand, and if you can be consistent, if you can be committed, and in 118, somewhere between 118 and 165 days, you can hit your first $1,000 in revenue. That is such a huge milestone and will propel you to then to that $10,000 mark, that will propel you then to that $100,000 mark, that will propel you, and that momentum builds and builds and builds, right? And so you just have to stay committed. And really, what's interesting is some of the other tips and statistics that Printify gives that I want to hit you with, that I just want to continue this trend and hit you with, because some of the keys to the success are right here in this amazing article, and some of the reasons why they, you know, some of these sellers have such quick success. One thing is how often they're releasing new designs and how many listings that they have, which is really interesting. So check this out. Printify's high volume sellers have on average 500 listings. Whoa.
Dang.
Check this out. Before they got to that 1K mark, on average, they had to publish 67 products to get to 1K.
Yeah, man.
Dude. Like
that's pretty wild. Like, yeah, that like, is pretty wild. I mean, what I will say is that a lot of Printify's users, like a chunk of them, are primarily or exclusively Etsy sellers.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Etsy has a very different strategy than Shopify, right? Etsy, it's almost like a volumes game where you're trying to use SEO and everyone else is using the SEO. So you have to frequently just be dropping at a rapid clip. and then hope that you get picked up by the algorithm. Very different than, you know, the significant and quick income spikes you can have by putting paid advertising behind winning products.
Yeah.
Because the Etsy strategy is so listing heavy, that doesn't overly shock me, but that is a crazy number, I will say.
Well, the way that I took it was, it spoke to, like, I just know we coach students in our coaching program, and I have Shirt School, and you've got T-Shirt Legends Academy. And like, so one of the things we harp on so frequently is like, continue to test new designs until you find one that takes off. Continue to test, 100%. Continue to test. And it can, I think for our students or even for us, like it can feel like, man, more designs every week. Like I'm on that hamster wheel of designs, but like the statistics show, like it's not going to be your first design that's going to be that six figure design, right? It might not even be your 30th design or your 50th design, right? Like, you're going to have to put out quite a few products and quite a few designs to maybe find that one that takes off. And to add to that, just to kind of cap this one off, on average, top sellers publish 10 new listings per week.
Dang.
10 new listings per week on average, they're top sellers. Now, it's the top sellers, right? Like, we're talking about some of the million, multi-million dollar sellers, but 10 new listings per week. So like, it just speaks to like, have to be consistent, have to continue to publish, have to continue to put out those new designs in the market.
I love that. I love that. Like, if you have the bandwidth to put out 10 a week, all the power to you. It is one of the most important factors in success. Really, like, the choosing the niche, the website, that should be done really, really quick. That, like, I tell everyone, choose your niche and get your website up in 30 days at the latest. That's, I kind of break things up into two phases. So phase one is niche selection. Get your website and just get a couple designs up. Don't overthink it. Just 3 to 5 designs. It's not a big deal. Like, honestly, statistically, they're probably not going to be your winners. So just get something up there so you can get your website live. That's phase one. That should be done in 30 days. Once you're done that, you move into phase two, and your primary focus should really be three things: design research, design creation, and marketing. That is where your energy should be spent. And so if you should be releasing new designs as regularly as you can, to find the winner, because when you find a winner, success can come very quickly. I'm talking within 24 to 48 hours. However, I don't want anyone to think this is some get rich quick scheme where you don't get the impression that your first design is gonna be a winner. I've never ever met any brand who their first design was a winner. My 7-figure brand, I launched it with 50 designs, like 50, and none of them were winners. It was probably like my 75th design that was a winner and allowed me to really scale up. That's normal. That's how it is. But that, all you need is one. All you need is that one. And if you're doing the right things, if you're investing time in effective design research, regularly dropping those new designs and getting eyeballs in front of your products, you're eventually going to see success. It's just a matter of time.
All right, I got a couple more for you, Adrian. A couple more for this quick hits number two section. You're going to love these next two. You're going to love them because I'm telling you, it's like everything that we always talk about. Like, people think we don't know what we're talking about, Adrian. We're talking about this all the time and the data backs it up. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
To our surprise, the single color option reigns supreme among print-on-demand products. Items with just one color choice are the stars of the show in both apparel and non-apparel categories.
Hell yeah.
Top selling products, one color choice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
This is how it is. You know, you want, like, this is, I'm sure this is consistent year after year after year. There's a lot of things that don't actually change that much. And that's why basics generally win the ball game when it comes to print on demand, when it comes to e-commerce, right? A lot of things remain the same. If you know those things, if you're aware of them, then you're going to have a huge advantage. It also could save you a lot of time knowing to offer less, right? We want to reduce customer overwhelm, and we want to reduce decision fatigue for our customers. Mm-hmm. This is why I believe that a lot of brands that have very little options are extremely successful.
Yep.
You think of Tesla. You think of Apple. Mm. Like, how many phones does Apple even have? Massive, right? This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. And you're not only going to save time, but you're going to help your customers get to a decision quicker. And that's going to reduce friction in the buying process. I love this. That there's like these stats to back it up.
Yeah. And again, it's just something like, I think our natural inclination, you know, is the natural thing to think is the more colors we have, the more options we give our customer,
right,
the more sales we will get. And in fact, it is the opposite, mm-hmm. right? And Printify backs up what we're saying here. They even say in the next section that what it does is it enables your customers to make an easier choice, and it enables them to make a faster choice. Go for less colors. Go for less colors. It actually says only one color choice. Now, this report also tells us on T-shirts the most popular color options, which this is awesome too. Black and white, no surprise, right?
No surprise at all. That's like, dude, this is just year after year.
Yeah, navy comes in third. Sport gray or like heather gray kind of comes after that. But guess what color is making its way up the charts? Sand.
Oh,
sand, right? Yeah,
sand is so trendy right now.
Sand is so popular right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that navy beat gray, because depending on which print on demand company you look at and kind of what reports you look at, a lot of times gray is actually the third best. So we've had a lot more success with gray over navy personally, but I mean, these are the stats and they make, Printify has a lot of volume. So that's really awesome to know.
And just to solidify that one choice option, check this out. They say that products offering 1 to 5 color options outshine those with over 5 color variations by a whopping 70%.
Oh, I love that.
So 70% of orders, let's just put that in perspective, 70% of orders, print on demand from Printify, come from products that have 1 to 5 color options. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. The last one I want to hit you with here, and then we'll move to our number 3 news topic. But the last one I hit you with. When it comes to visuals, you're going to love this, Adrian. When it comes to visuals, our print-on-demand statistics show a significant pattern. Products with 1 to 2 design elements outsell all others. 1 to 2 design elements. Products rocking a single design element. So one design element. We're talking like just text or like just an image, just like one design element. 56% of all sales. 56%. If you've got two design elements, 24%. So that means 80% of Printify sales between 1 and 2 design elements on the product.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I'm curious if by design elements, they mean like a graphic. So you could have text and then a single graphic. Let's say you're in the fitness niche and you have like a funny fitness inspired slogan, and then you have a little barbell, if that would be one design graphic.
So they define it in here. They say an element is an image, text, or any other form of graphic. So I believe what they're saying is like just text or just an image would be one. So if you have an image and text, that would be two.
Yeah, man. Dude, two words. Simple cells. So many people overcomplicate this. I was one of those people, but I learned after dropping hundreds, probably thousands of designs by now, that simple freaking cells, our simple designs always outperform our complex designs. Like, we don't even spend much energy on complex designs anymore because statistically we know they're going to perform worse. And if I'm creating them myself, they're going to take 10 times longer to create than a simple design.
Yeah, man. They go on to just say that exactly what you just said. They go on to say in this article, like, keep it super simple. It says that their customers want sleek, simple, and clutter-free designs.
Yeah.
It says it's always about what makes sense in your niche. Sometimes, you know, those rules can be broken, But the numbers tell us that simpler usually does sell better. So there you go.
Love that.
All right, moving on to number three. So that was number two, kind of quick hits, talking about a few different statistics there, which are really interesting. Number three, this is pretty interesting. I definitely want to know what you have to say about this, because I think this is going to be maybe something we don't love as much, but I just think it's interesting. T-Launch launches a $5 tee. So print on demand company called T-Launch, one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
They've launched a $5 print on demand t-shirt. This just happened last month, I believe. This is from my research. I don't know if you've ever seen. I did some research in these notes. This is the lowest priced t-shirt in the entire print on demand industry. That I could not find anything lower. I could not find a lower price t-shirt. From what I can tell, this is like a one side print. You know, it's just a front print.
Yep.
As many colors as you want, because it's using direct to garment. I went into the actual app, like logged into the app, found the t-shirt. It is just a basic Hanes unisex tee. The question I have for you, Adrian, is this a game changer for print on demand?
It sounds like a loss leader to me.
What'd you say?
It sounds like a loss leader to me. It sounds like T-Launch making a Hail Mary to get people to start using them for apparel, because with all the respect to T-Launch, I know that a lot of people use them for metal wall art, which is freaking awesome. You can make some great margins there, but I do not know many people using them for apparel. And so my guess is that this is a loss leader, where they're going to be able to dangle that carrot and they're going to be able to say, we have the lowest cost t-shirt on the market, bring a bunch of people in. And then I would guess that everything else would be pretty closely priced to other products through Printify, Printful, Gelato, those big three, right? I don't think it's a game changer. I think it's just an effort on their part to try to get people to use them for apparel, because we know a lot of people using them for metal wall art, but I personally do not know many people using them for apparel. Do you, Carrie? Do you know many people using T-Launch?
Funny story. T-Launch was actually it was either the first or one of the first print on demand companies I ever used for apparel. What? But I think this was like 7 years ago or something. So I think back in the day, they were, maybe this was 8 years ago, man. But back in the day, they didn't have as many like tumblers or like the wall art. So I think they kind of evolved over time, but I actually switched away from them because I didn't have a great quality experience. Again, I don't want to bash them, because this was 8 years ago, people.
Right,
so
right.
This does not speak to how they are today, but here's what I would say about it. I agree with you. This is probably, you know, they want to get more people into the apparel side of what they have to offer. But what I would say is, number one, we don't recommend that you sell Hanes flipping beefy tees. These t-shirts stink. They're sandpaper. They shrink like crazy. And you know, what else is interesting, Adrian, is what I found is that when you choose a lower quality cotton t-shirt, that the print actually does not look as good. When you actually do have it printed on a higher quality cotton, you get a more vibrant print. And this is why, you know, I think we both kind of agree. We generally recommend something like the Bella Canvas 3001, the Next Level 3600. I know we're big fans of the Comfort Color 1717. That's a really popular one right now with a lot of cool colors. One. Yeah. So there's some great t-shirts out there that can still be in that like $9 to $12 price point. That I think is really a profitable price point. So I don't think this is a game changer for print on demand. I think you'll actually probably, in a lot of cases, have a worse experience using this t-shirt than if you were to pay a little bit more for a nicer t-shirt and just raise the price a little bit so you can keep the margin the same. But, you know, here's what I would say. I'd say, hey, there's nothing wrong with selling the Hanes tee. If this fits your business model, if you're wanting to offer super inexpensive t-shirts, I mean, a $5 t-shirt would enable you to offer something at like maybe $11.99, $12.99. You know, if you really wanted to create something that's just really, really inexpensive and affordable, like go for it. You know, like I think that's cool. That's fine. But I don't think it's a game changer for print on demand. I just know there are people out there, Adrian, that you're just looking for the lowest price, because I know I've talked to these people in the YouTube comments and the DMs, like, what's the lowest price t-shirt? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I know there's people out there looking for that. So if you're looking for that, like, here it is. It's a Hanes unisex t-shirt. Go for it. I'm just saying, it's not really what we would recommend.
No. If it were a Bella Canvas 3001 for that price, hell yeah. Like that could be a game changer, right? Hopefully that would, you know, get other competitors to kind of lower their price for that staple item, that, you know, fan favorite. But I don't know. I just have a lot of opposition to competing on price. And there's a couple concerns about this. First of all, it's a crappy quality tee. So what do you think your customers are going to think when they receive this? Even if they didn't pay much for it, they might be like, oh, it feels like sandpaper. This is really uncomfortable and the print's trash.
They're not going to come back.
You're not going to get good feedback. And guess what happens when your customers don't have a good experience? They never come back, and they might even tell other people, stay away from this company, right? And how do you create a profitable brand in 2024? You build up a following of raving fans, you give them an amazing customer experience, and you market to them again and again and again and again. The profits are made in the repeat sales. The profits are made in the repeat sales. And it's going to be hard to get repeat sales if you're selling this trash t-shirt. I'm sorry. I'm not like throwing shade on T-Launch, because other print on demand companies offer this t-shirt too. So I'm definitely not, it's nothing personal. I'm sure T-Launch is great. And I don't have anything bad to say about them because I've never used them. However, I would caution people that are gonna offer this t-shirt, expect pushback, like expect low reviews and expect very infrequent repeat customers. And that is the lifeblood of a brand today. You know, we pay a toll to get our products in front of people, to get eyeballs in front of our products. And that's a toll through Facebook ads, through TikTok ads, whatever. We pay tolls to get in front of a lot of people. But really, the profit with each additional repeat sale, you're making more profit from that customer. So I would not advise anyone to roll with this personally. I wouldn't advise anyone to offer this shirt on their store.
I would say the same. The only like pushback I would give you is, look, there's a different expectation if you're going to offer a t-shirt like sub $15, $14.99. So it's like, you know, what I would really caution people to do is don't go list this t-shirt in your store and price it for $30. Like,
no,
that's where it's really going to be, like even 25. I mean, like, oh
no,
you're going to get some horrible reviews on a $25 t-shirt when you're selling them a Hanes unisex t-shirt or beefy tee or whatever it is. So definitely don't do that. You know, if you're really set on, hey, I want to offer $13, $14 t-shirts, like this is going to be your only option really. But I don't think that's a winning business model. And even, especially if you're going to run ads, there's just not enough margin there to sell a t-shirt, you know, at that price. So, you know, I think we wouldn't recommend it for sure.
No, the only businesses I would think that this could be advantageous to them is that all they do is compete on price and they're just trying to get rock bottom prices, expecting to make one-off sales and then people never to come back. But that's a terrible business model. You should never be going for that business model. That is not sustainable. It's going to be very hard to be profitable, and it's a recipe for failure, in my opinion.
Definitely. All right, number four, Adrian.
Let's go.
Let's talk about some quick AI news. So I put some AI news in here and just kind of condensed it down, because I want to just inform our listeners of a few cool AI things that are happening. So I've got three here. You don't necessarily have to give your thoughts on all these. We can just talk through them real quick. But number one, Ideogram has just released within the last month or so, Ideogram 1.0. That's their new model. It is incredible at handling text. It is absolutely mind blowing. So, Adrian, if you haven't seen this already, like I would encourage you to go over to ideogram.ai. Just go through, just hit like the top button and just scroll through some of the top images there. I would encourage our listeners to do that as well. Go to Ideogram. We're not affiliated with them. We're not sponsored by them. Ideogram.ai, Ideogram.ai. Click on the top tab at the top and look through some of specifically the text generated images. This is their new model, And one of the biggest updates on this new model is the ability to for you to ask it to generate text. And it is, I don't know, man, I would say like 95% accurate, like almost like it's, I've seen it do some crazy stuff. So like I put in one the other day on my profile that was, if you've ever seen the plant design where you, it has a bunch of plants and then you put like the plant names below it, it did it flawlessly. I've seen one that where they did the different types of coffee and put all the types of coffee underneath it. Like my mind cannot comprehend how it can like digest the details. Cause like you have to be so specific in saying like a cup of espresso with the word espresso underneath it. Then like next to it, a cup of like, and it like, I don't know how it does this. Like it's mind blowing. So it's like, it's two things. It's extremely accurate at handling text, which is like the first thing that's pretty mind blowing is you can put in like these long quotes and it can like accurately interpret long, even long quotes. Number two, it's very accurate at handling details. So like you can tell it where to place the text on the image, or you can tell it, you know, that like that you want it to be bold or you want it to be cursive, or like, it's like very good at handling these details. It's pretty incredible. So like, just, I'd encourage you to go try it for yourself. The other crazy thing about Ideogram is you can still use it for free. Like, wow. It's pretty wild. Cause I haven't seen another one. Number one, I haven't seen another one that can do text this well. And number two, I haven't seen another image generator that's free that can is even close to what it can do as far as text. I'm not saying it's the best one. I'm just saying as far as text, it's pretty mind blowing. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, this is really exciting because I remember when Ideogram kind of first started hitting the radar of us and our students and whatnot, the big differentiator was it can do text. That was kind of their.
And it was already good.
What's that?
It was already good at doing text.
Right. And that was, everyone was excited by that. And we saw, you know, it was pretty good. It was not that bad. But the fact I'm looking at some of these newer ones, yeah, this looks really good.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
Okay. Next bit of AI news. This one's been known for a little bit. I don't know if you've seen this. Adrian, have you seen OpenAI Sora text to video?
I've heard about it. I have not seen it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So just go out to Google. If you're listening to this, search for OpenAI Sora, S-O-R-A, text to video. So basically OpenAI, the company that owns ChatGPT, you know, and all that stuff. They own DALL-E as well. They haven't released it, but they've announced their newest text to video, which is called Sora. And again, it's just mind blowing when you see, like, you can put in text, and again, the videos it generates, absolutely mind blowing. I saw this video from Marquise Brownlee. I don't know if you are familiar with Marquise Brownlee. He's got like 20 million plus YouTube subscribers. He's the biggest like tech YouTuber there is. But he had this video where he showed 1 year ago a text to video generated of Will Smith eating spaghetti. This is from a year ago. If you haven't seen this, like you gotta Google it or something. But it's like the worst thing you've ever seen, Adrian. It is so bad. He's got a million fingers and he's just like shoving spaghetti into his mouth. It looks so bad. Like it's so bad. And he just compared that to what it can do, what Sora can do today. And I'm just telling you, it is absolutely mind-blowing. I don't have words. I just keep saying mind-blowing and incredible. But right. You just got to see it for yourself. It is really crazy. So definitely go check that out. It's definitely worth checking out.
Okay. I have seen the video of the dogs in the snow. So yeah. I just Googled it and I was like, oh yeah, I did see the video of the dogs in the snow. And I was like very impressed with how realistic it was.
They just released some new ones recently, which I don't know if they're on the Sora website, but like they released like a blue alien dude. And some other ones, and they're just crazy. Like you just got to go check it out. If you go, you can actually just go to openai.com/Sora, S-O-R-A, and you'll see like some of the example videos there. A lady walking through Tokyo, which looks crazy. There's some giant woolly mammoths going through the snow.
This is crazy.
This is all like not real.
When
not real.
when, like, at what point are entire films going to be AI generated, where instead of all the production and getting all the people together and all the money that goes into it, it's literally a series of prompts? At what point in the future are we going to get there where Hollywood films are coming out that are purely AI generated?
I think much sooner than we think. Like, it could be within the next year. I mean, like, you know, that's a little ambitious, but like, there's already short films out there. If you go look for them, they're all AI generated. I think the big thing though is, not to get into this topic as much, but we have to have policies in place so that we know what we're looking at is real or AI generated. And I know that Google and YouTube is, fairly soon, I don't think they've released it yet, but fairly soon they're going to require YouTube creators to disclose whether it's AI generated. And I think they're even going to have detection in place to actually, when you post a video, like, it can detect if any of it was AI generated, and it will put a disclaimer on there. So I think that's the big thing, is we have to know, right? Like, what is AI generated? If you upload an AI generated video to a Facebook ad and you want to run that as a Facebook ad, like, the algorithm needs to be able to detect this is not real, and at least put some kind of disclaimer on it when you're looking at that. I think that's important, because it is a little bit scary, but it's also just really incredible what the technology can do, for sure.
Whoever invents that, if they haven't already, an AI detection tool that goes mainstream, man, that's going to be a massive business.
Yeah, for sure. So, and the last bit of news I have here, this is it. This has not released yet, but Midjourney has announced that they are testing a new consistent character feature, which will let you create multiple images with the same character in each.
Yes.
It's wild.
That's a big deal for print-on-demand sellers, especially those in apparel. That's a really big deal to be able to have a consistent model for multiple of your products. Like, you can go on a platform like Etsy and you can find some of the accounts that sell mockups. And there's this one, I forget her name, but I bought a ridiculous amount of her mockups. I don't even know how many, but it's her as the model in essentially every single one. So it's cool, right? Because you have that consistent model every time, but she's only one person and can only pump out so many of these at a time. And I know Placeit, sometimes they do have a couple images of the same model, but to be able to do that in Midjourney, this is a big deal for a lot of print-on-demand sellers. And I think a lot of apparel sellers, if you can have 5 to 10 models that you have them kind of modeling all your clothes, I think, especially as you come out with new collections, if it's the same model modeling, like, or same couple models modeling new collections, that's going to look really, really good and really professional.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's so much this will open up. There have been like kind of been ways to do consistent character in Midjourney, but they're like very, very complex and they don't work very well, which is why I haven't like taught it on YouTube or in my AI Profit Club. Like, I didn't put consistent character training in there because it's so hard to do and just not that accurate. Right. So like, if they just have a feature in there where you can go to your settings and turn on consistent character or whatever, you know, like that's a game changer. I think for,
agreed.
You know, if you have a brand that, that you have, like, I've seen clothing brands where it doesn't even have to be a clothing brand, any kind of brand where you have a consistent, like, you have a character that you want to use. I'm thinking of like, the one lady that had the unicorn brand that got into Walmart and all that stuff, right? Like,
oh, Afro Unicorn.
Yeah. Afro Unicorn. Like, yep. They have like a character, right? Like, it's this character. So like, to be able to continue to generate new designs with that character, that's huge. That's just such a game changer, for sure. So that pretty much wraps up our AI section. I want to touch on one more topic that I think is important to our listeners. And we're just going to touch on it briefly. We're not going to super get into the conversation around it, but I do want to mention it because I do think it's important for us to talk about these things if they, you know, affect our listeners. We don't typically get political on this podcast. We're not even going to get political on this one, but it does affect, you know, it could potentially affect our listeners. So I just want to mention it. Yeah. You're probably aware that there has been a potential ban on TikTok moving its way through the US government. And so on Wednesday, March 13th, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted in favor of legislation that could potentially ban TikTok in the US. So that's something to know. This is kind of our last news article here to cover. There's some things to know about the potential TikTok ban. The first thing to know is it's not banned yet. There's like, you see all these news articles, you see like videos, you see social media posts, like TikTok is not banned yet. So if you are using it to, you know, promote your brand and all those kind of things, like it's not banned yet. It's passed in the House of Representatives, but it has to go to the Senate to actually, you know, be actually passed. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I think it's important to know that that doesn't mean, even if it passes in the Senate, it doesn't mean that TikTok is going to be banned. The bill actually requires TikTok to sell to a US-owned company to sell for, the company is actually called ByteDance, right? The China-owned company is called, or China-run company, based company, I should say, is called ByteDance. And they, TikTok is a product that ByteDance has created. And so they would have to sell off TikTok to a US company or it would be banned. So there's a couple different things that could happen. The other thing to know is that it's interesting because the House of Representatives does is slightly majority Republican. And so it passed with a 352-65 vote in the House, which means that Republicans and Democrats were pretty overwhelmingly in favor of it. So on both sides, they were, you know, it was pretty favorable. But most people expect that in this, when it goes to the Senate, it will face greater resistance, as this news article that I'm reading here says. So there is a good chance that it doesn't pass. There is a good chance that it does pass. It's kind of up in the air. But we just want to make you aware of it. Obviously, if it's banned in the US, if it does get banned in the US, it's banned in the US. Like, you won't be able to use it at all, from what I understand. If it gets sold to a US company, I don't know what that means. I mean, that could mean a lot of things, right? There's potential. Could it sell to another social media company? I don't think personally that the US government would let a company like Meta buy it. I think that would create way too much of a monopoly. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think that they would let Twitter X buy it because Elon isn't the most loved person in the US government.
Who doesn't love Elon? What?
What's that? Yeah, I love Elon. But anyways, any thoughts on this, Adrian? Anything you want to say about it?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because this would have probably been the elephant in the room for this episode if it wasn't brought up, just because it's so recent. So without getting political, a couple things. First off, this has been talked about before in the past.
True.
And nothing ever happened. Nothing ever came of it. Okay. The other thing about it is this is my own personal opinion. I do not think it's going to get banned. And if it did get banned in the US, I mean, it wouldn't overly surprise me if they did actually sell to a US owned company or something, because they're going to get a huge payout versus not having the US market at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that wouldn't be the end of the world. And the other thing I was going to say was this just reiterates the importance of having an owned platform, of using an owned platform. So generally we talk about acquisition channels, and those are rented platforms. That's social media, that's Instagram, that's TikTok. These are rented platforms. The algorithm can change at any time and completely tank your views. These social media platforms can terminate your account at any point in time, which means you're done. There's a lot of issues, which is why the goal should always be to use those rented platforms, social media, to drive traffic. But then the next goal should be, well, two goals: conversions and email collection. Generally, when people make a sale, make a purchase, you collect their email. But even if they don't make a purchase, you should be trying really, really hard to collect their email. Because what this is going to do is, if there was some freak event, like you got an account terminated, but you had collected a whole bunch of emails. Let's say you got your TikTok account terminated, but you collected a whole bunch of emails. You could continue to make sales with little disruption. And you can even let your followers know, we're on Instagram now, or, you know, we're no longer on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram, right? But it just reiterates the importance of having own platforms. If all you're doing is using social media to drive traffic and make sales, and you're not collecting emails and you're not marketing to those customers and those subscribers, one, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, and two, you're running a very risky business. So every time something like this happens, or you hear about Etsy terminating a lot of accounts and stuff like this, it just brings back that consistent theme of, guys, like the money's made on the owned platforms. Email is an owned platform. You own your email list. If you get shut down from a social media account, or if they no longer exist, you still have your email list. And that's going to be one of your most valuable assets. So every time I hear news like this, that's the first thing that I hear about. But what I would say is, don't freak out yet. You know, I like to ask myself two questions when big things like this happen. One, do I have enough information to freak out? And two, will freaking out help? No, we don't have enough information. Yes, it passed the House, but it doesn't mean it passed the Senate. There's a lot more loopholes to go through. So there's no benefit in freaking out right now. I personally do not think that it's going to get banned. And I think in a worst case scenario, I could be wrong because I'm just guessing, but in a worst case scenario, I think it would become like a US based company. And I agree, it probably wouldn't be bought by Meta or any other big social media platforms. It would probably be bought by like a software company, like an Apple. I mean, I'm just dropping Apple because it's a big software company with deep pockets. But, you know, it would probably be bought by a large software company or something that would want to compete with a Meta. And competition is a great thing. We want competition. It means that they have to earn our advertising dollars and, you know, earn us as creators on their platforms. So not a bad thing.
Yeah, there's already a group of investors being put together to put in a bid on TikTok. Yeah. Which is interesting. And then also another thing to know is that if it were to pass the Senate, TikTok would not be banned immediately. They would have 5 months to find a buyer, basically. So they'd have 5 months to do that. So a little bit of time. That also gives you time to figure out kind of your next move as a business owner, if that's a primary platform for you. But yeah, like you said, it just speaks to the importance of never put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. Never, you know, I mean, so many people have done it, right? Like you've gone all in on one platform, whatever that platform may be. And then the algorithm changes, something changes, and it just doesn't work anymore and you're screwed. So it's so important to not be all in on one platform, to have multiple ways of bringing in sales and strategies. And like you said, to build that email list, that's maybe more important than anything else because you own it. So
agreed.
Yeah. I think we leave it there, Adrian. Good, interesting, and fun episode, man. Thank you for your thoughts.
That was so much fun. Thank you for sharing, man. This was great. And hopefully if our listeners like this, it would be really cool to continue doing this, maybe on a quarterly basis or something. So for our listeners, if you do like to be in the know with what has happened with print on demand, how these things can affect you, if this is valuable to you, let us know. Like, drop us a DM. Me at Ecom Legends Academy on Instagram, Carrie at Carrie Egler, or post a comment, drop a comment on YouTube, on our YouTube channels. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yep. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Peace. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Print On Demand Playbook Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on whichever platform you are listening from. To be honest, we're running kind of low on reviews and we love to hear from you guys. So if you are enjoying it, if you are getting value out of it, please leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate it. With that, thank you so much and we will talk to you soon.